Glad to have all the church family here and some guests today. And we're going to be doing part two of The Holiness Highway. A few weeks ago, we did part one, and we started with Isaiah 35:8. And I want to turn there again to remind us of the base text. Isaiah 35:8, reading from the King James Version. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Let's look at a promise that we are given in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love Yah's law, and nothing shall offend them. You may say, preacher, I'm offended if I see a parent abusing their child. We must understand what the Scripture is saying. Anything that will offend our Father in heaven will offend us. But when we love the law of our Father in heaven, nothing will offend us. And we will not offend heaven. Part one, we described spiritual laws and physical laws. We went over the spiritual laws column. There's also a little box there for the civil laws. We need to go over those. We looked at law as a definition of sin. It gives us the knowledge of sin. We saw that love is the motive for observing and keeping the law. Let's turn to 1 John 5:3 for review. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. The law of Yah is our delight. We desire to please Him, and love is the motive. We do not keep the law of God to bring us any kind of credit. We cannot gain any credit. We do not desire to merit anything, for we merit nothing, but we delight to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We are at speed limit rest. And the Sabbath is a fit symbol of our life experience with the Father and His Son. Let us begin today looking at the physical laws that are listed on the right side of the column. We have an example of gravity. If I drop this box, what is going to happen? I have a paper box in my hand. I will release it, and everybody knows what's going to happen. It falls to the desk. We call that box is being controlled by a law of God. And that law of God is called gravity in our language. And we can predict that this box will fall every time we release it. That is a representation of the consistency and faithfulness of our Father in heaven. There is a law called centrifugal force. There is one called inertia. One is called friction. And another, expansion. And another, contraction. And if we take courses in physical science, we learn much about these laws. In the public school system, they will not tell you these are the laws of God. But those of us who know God know that they are His laws. And if we break them or try to violate them or misuse them in any way, we must suffer the consequences. Many have gone around, tried to drive around a curve faster than it's wise to do, and have found that violation of law puts them in the ditch. The law of centrifugal force overcame them, and they no longer stayed in the road. The Heavenly Father calls us to drive in the road. There's a ditch on one side of the road, and there's a ditch on the other side of the road. You've heard of religious fanatics. Religious fanatics are people in a ditch on one side of the road. And you've heard of people that were just ungodly, mean, in the ditch on another side of the road. Our Father in heaven desires us to be in the road, balanced. Holy. In part one, we said that the base word for holy is healthy. God wants us to be healthy mentally, spiritually, and physically. You've seen in the scriptures where it has a number. In Revelation chapter 13, it talks about a number, 666. And there's much discussion about this number. But it's very simple. Six represents man. And 666 is a carnal man. A man who only scores six in the mental, scores six in the spiritual, and scores six in the physical. Just a carnal, natural man. Without the divine nature. And what would you reckon that one would score who was converted and full of the Spirit of God? Perhaps it would be 777. Our Father wants us to be healthy in every way. He wants us to tread the holiness highway. He has laid down a straight and narrow road for us. He has loved us, giving His only begotten Son, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God's people are to be the healthiest. God's people are to be the happiest. We were talking earlier about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In my work, I meet a lot of people. And most of the people I meet are not people that are happy. Very few people do I find smiling. And yet, the way we are designed, it takes less effort to smile than to frown. It is very natural to smile. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's a law. And when we love Yah, and when we keep Yah's commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, we're happy. And we have a smile on our faces. One of the brothers was relating earlier that we can see in the eyes what is happening within the soul. It's a law. The Savior would look in the eyes of people and He would read them. He said, the eyes are the light of the body. He would see that concern, that worry, that frustration, that anger, that burden of guilt. We can read the eyes. We have health laws. And if we do not observe the laws of our being, if we fail to recognize that God has designed us in a fearful and wonderful way, He has designed our machinery, our body tissues, our body fluids, our body organs and so forth, our body systems are designed for certain kinds of fuel, for certain kinds of environment. And special care. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy, for the temple of Yah is holy, which temple ye are. If we violate the laws of our being, we cannot help but be destroyed. We are to respect and cherish the temple that has been given to us, bought for us at infinite price. For we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. and chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Yah in your body and in your spirit, which are Yah's. What are some of the ways that we might glorify our Father in heaven? Through observing the laws of our being that He gave us. First of all, we would look at proper nutrition. I'm amazed at some of the things that come out of the scientific community concerning health and nutrition. They're probably only about 100 to 1,000 years behind. Maybe 6,000 years, if we go back to creation. We have RDAs, recommended daily allowances. We have some other acronym I forget right now. And I realize that we live in very difficult times. It is difficult to find food that has a balance of nutrition because the soils are depleted. And I have spoken this before, and I believe that it's necessary to take some sort of quality supplement that's easily assimilatable to have proper balanced health in this generation. And I realize that these recommended daily allowances and so forth are with good intention, hoping to give people some guidelines, etc. The scripture says, think not about these things. Don't worry about these things. If we go back to creation, we see the diet that our Father gave us in the beginning. If we take the foods in their simple and natural form, with as little cooking as possible. And let me inject this. You take a carrot. You put a carrot, a raw carrot, in water, what's it going to do? It should sprout if it's not been poisoned by some sort of pesticide or something. And even in spite of that, it'll probably sprout. You cook that carrot and put it in water, what's it going to do? Well, it's certainly not going to sprout. It'll probably rot on you after a while. Living foods were given to us to give life to our body cells. We need a certain amount of fiber in our bodies. We need to eat whole foods. We need proper nutrition. We need to study the anatomy of our bodies. And let me say this, everybody's body will vary a little and everybody will have a little different experience. Some people can mix fruits and vegetables at the same meal without a crisis. And others, maybe a majority, if eating fruits and vegetables at the same meal, will get a gaseous problem. When we get putrefaction in the intestinal area, We're not observing the laws of our being properly. We need to avoid that when, if possible. We need to learn to mix the right foods together that will be compatible with our bodies and bring forth proper nutrition digestion, and therefore reap the proper nutrition for our bodies. Now, the young people may be laughing at me right now, some of them. They might be saying, oh, I eat this and I eat that and I never am sick and I never have to go to a doctor and I'm very healthy. Well, isn't it wonderful that our Father's been merciful to give us great vital energy when we're young? And a lot of young people have erred in what they eat. But as people get older, they begin to reap what they've sown. And in their later years, they're thinking, I wish I had done that differently. I wish I still had the vitality of my youth. For do you not know that there are 5 cultures around the world today that have vitality? They bring forth children at 120 years old. They live to be 160 years old. They're running up and down hills at 100 years old. But they're not in America. They're not in the United States of America, the land of refined and fast foods. So we need to supply our body temple with the proper nutrition. Another point is regular exercise. The lifestyles that many Americans have, if not most today, is what we call a sedentary lifestyle. Many are sitting on chairs watching television, and I preach against television. The only use I have for a television is to play a tape that has a seminar or a message of vital interest and edification to the body of Christ. Many of us have jobs where we sit at a desk, office-type work, computer work, etc. And I'm not condemning that at all. But we must be able to get some exercise at some point along the way. Some of us have rebounders, mini trampolines. And they're very, very beneficial to use. They enhance the immune system. They get the lymph system circulating and the blood circulating. Very beneficial. Some people are joggers, although it's probably not the best exercise. Probably brisk walking is the most desirable. Out in the fresh air. Swimming is a wonderful choice of exercise. I don't recommend swimming in pools that are chlorinated. And I would not recommend swimming in some polluted pond or something. My first choice is brisk walking. Another point concerning our physical health is pure water. The use of water is very vital, both inside and out. Do you know that we are... let me see if I have this correct now. I think it's 70% of our body is made up of water. And our blood, which is the... substance of life. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. Our blood is made up of 85% water. Water is important, and it's important that the water be pure. Yes, there are some controversies about whether we should consume reverse osmosis water, distilled water, spring water. Some of us cannot afford to buy the more expensive distilled or reverse osmosis water from the stores, and we go to the spring and gather spring water. The bottom line of teaching on this would be, what has God told you to do? But He certainly will not teach you to drink the tap water that has chemicals that are carcinogenic put into the water. Of course, in an emergency, in a matter of thirst, we may drink the tap water out of necessity. I've been known to drink what they call a pop or a soda. But that's not my regular intake. Do you know how much sugar is in one 12-ounce can of pop? 9 teaspoons of sugar. Do you know how much vitamin B complex that destroys in your body? Pretty much all that you need. One can. Well, if you're working hard and you're sweating, it won't have as much of a negative effect on you. I talked to someone this week that said that they can only, let's see, I think they need somewhere around 7 to 9 cans of that stuff a day. They're addicted. God's people are not addicted. God's people are not addicted to anything except holiness, healthiness. And that's not an addiction. That's a love affair. We love our Father and we keep His commandments. We take care of our body temple. We take care of the Father's business. Sunshine is something all of us need. There are great benefits from being in the sun. And you will notice the benefits physically, mentally, and spiritually. Too much sunshine would not be wise, but a regular exposure to the sun is something that our Father would like us to experience. Temperance or self-control is an area that we need to recognize. Sometimes people will take an attitude that if something's good, a whole lot is better. That is not true. You can consume too much good stuff, and it will not be healthful for you. Moderacy in all things is the Bible teaching. And actually, true temperance is moderacy in all things that are healthful, and abstinence from all things that are harmful. Fresh air. We all need to breathe. We all need fresh air. Without a little regular fresh air and deep breathing, our minds will become foggy. And we will become sleepy.
In this room, we have people breathing. We're exhaling carbon dioxide, right? We're needing oxygen. Well, if we stay in here too long with the doors and windows closed, we're going to have an increase in carbon dioxide to a level that will be unhealthy, and everybody but the preacher will be going to sleep. And if we stayed too long, maybe the preacher would even pass out. We need fresh air. And of course, a good time to get that fresh air is when we're getting our exercise outside. Of course, rest is important, and routine rest is best. Actually, I should have said something about that concerning our meals. You know, the prophet Elijah, known as Elijah, was fed by God twice a day, two meals a day. That's the template for meals. Now, I realize that some of us have hard physical labor, and we may need a third meal. The best program is when you have a routine. It's good to have a routine time to go to bed, a routine time to get up in the morning. It's good to have a routine time to eat your meals. It's best. And some might say, well, that's a little perfectionistic. Well, it is best. And so far as possible, it would be good to observe. The more of these laws of health that we observe properly, the healthier and happier we will be. Routine rest is the best. We necessarily need rest. Now, I've been known to work 30 hours straight without rest, and my wife has let me know about it. I haven't done that in a while. I know that our Savior at times would be up all day and then all night praying and then all day again. You see, when we are about our Father's business, we may be up longer than would be normally recommended or advised. But we should not be slothful, and we should not be lazy, and we should not be playing games at the expense of our health. If God gives you an instruction, or He gives you a task to do, and you have a deadline to meet, or if you have a great task to perform that God has given you, and He says, stay with it until you're finished, then He's going to take care of you in that. But the general rule of thumb is we need routine rest. And He gave us the Sabbath day so that we would be sure to have one day of rest with Him in the physical. And hopefully have some spiritual food and fellowship with others of like belief. The last area of concern that has been shown to be a law of our being is trust in God. People who trust that things are going to be okay, people who have health problems, for example, who trust that God is going to heal them, find better health than those that have no trust. I once heard a doctor say, he was criticizing the medical community a little bit. There are cancer patients that may have a 90-10 chance matter of fight for cancer, over cancer. And he criticized the doctors by saying, there's a 90% chance that you'll die this next couple of months. But this doctor said the loving thing to say is that you have a 10% chance, and we're going to fight for that 10% chance. We can be in that 10% chance. We don't want to think about the 90% chance of failure. Trusting in Yah to perform. Let's look at some scriptures. 3 John, verse 2. The third epistle of John, in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. I've said it before, I'm so blessed to come to this little congregation week after week and find people in good health. I'm so blessed that people are not missing worship and missing Sabbath because they're out sick. It's a great blessing not to have to say, let's pray that so-and-so gets back in church next week. They're sick. Or so-and-so's in the hospital. We need to pray for him. Isn't it wonderful to be healthy? It's wonderful to be on the holiness highway. Our Father is faithful, and He will honor our efforts to observe His commandments, to walk in His precepts, to diligently hearken unto His word. Not only in the spiritual, but in the physical as well. Exodus 15:26. Look at this promise. Yah is speaking here. He says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yah, thy Almighty One, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yah that healeth thee. What a promise. But there are some key words here. Diligently is a key word. Hearken is a key word. Do is a key word. Give ear are key words. And keep. Diligently hearken. Do. Listen. Keep. Those things are contingencies or prerequisites to holiness. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your sins. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We need to have healthy blood. What we eat, what we drink, how we exercise, how we observe these laws of our being will decide what kind of blood we have. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'm needing to hurry right along here. If you need to take notes, please do so. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. How much? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting. Now that's a word that people don't like to hear. But it's the word of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit through the observance of Yah's laws. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Or completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord, Yahshua the Messiah. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yah and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Before we close with the conclusion, let's look just briefly at the civil laws. We do not want to neglect Yah's will concerning civil law. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of Yah. The powers that be are ordained of Yah. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of Yah to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he heareth not the beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of Yah, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, or taxes also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Titus 3:1. Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yah rather than men. Now some people will take an extreme view or a religiously fanatical view on this verse and say that they don't have to observe the laws. They don't need a driver's license. They don't need this or that. Don't need a license plate. They bring a reproach upon the cause of Christ with their fanaticism. And yet, if man's law transgresses the laws of Yah, we are to obey Yah rather than men. And as creation Seventh-day Adventists, we will be tested on this point. May Yah help us. We have an eternal inheritance. Let us not allow it to be stolen from us. Let no man take your crown. And don't take your crown off by violating the laws of God. In conclusion, we look at Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is a Sabbath rest remaining for the people of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Would you like to be traveling at speed limit rest today? The invitation is to come to the Father. Come to Yahweh and to His Son, Yahshua. Put yourselves in their arms of safety. Submit yourselves to the laws of your being. Give yourself 100% to the glorification of your Creator, that you might walk down the holiness highway, marching, as it were, with the armies of Yah. As the light gets brighter unto that perfect day, when the family will finally be home in the city of holiness. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have given us a perfect road map. We thank you that we have the principles laid out before us for being holy, for being healthy and happy. We as your children seek to do your will, Father. All of those who love you keep your commandments, and those who do not love you find your commandments burdensome and seek a way to avoid them. Thank you that you have made a way through your Son, through the giving of your only begotten Son. We now have a way to walk down the highway of holiness. And by the filling of your Holy Spirit, we have the power to succeed, for we are more than conquerors through your Son. May we from this day forward be diligent to hearken unto your voice, to observe all of your statutes, that we may glorify you in our bodies, perfecting holiness. In the holy and precious name of Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, we pray. Amen.